Welcome to the SermonCoach.com podcast. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. We're talking today with Dr. David Mames, the Executive Director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. David, we often talk about the Sermon Coach method of sermon development. And today, I wonder if we could look at a text and apply the lessons we teach in unpacking this passage.
Sounds like a good idea. I'm ready for it.
Okay. Just to remind those who are listening, we look for a subject, a response, a how to, and a how long, and then we look to develop a key sentence that's a combination of the subject and the response. So can I pick a text and read it for us,
Dave? We'll go for it. Don't pick a tough one.
Well, I'm going to let you decide whether this is tough or not, but I want to look at Psalm 16.
Okay.
Keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. I say of the holy people who are in the land, they are the noble ones in whom is all my delight. Those who run after other gods will suffer more and more. I will not pour out libations of blood to such gods or take up their names on my lips. Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand.
It's an interesting psalm, isn't it? It's I was trying to listen for a response word. It's actually almost an appreciation to God for his many blessings. He's saying, these are all good things that are a part of my life, and that's all because of you. So I don't know that it's teaching as much as giving an example. He's almost musing, I would say. It is a prayer because it's a psalm, and it's like reciting all the good things about God. So I would say that the subject is a recounting of the many blessings. They're diverse, and you can unfold them one at a time. You know, you've made known to me the path of life. That's something that people say who are believers oftentimes. I have gone down all the wrong paths, but you've shown me the right path, that kind of thing. So I would say that it's an example, and probably the response that would be called for is a similar expression of gratitude in one's prayer, even praise, because I think he used the word praise in there. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. This is something good. Even at night, my heart instructs me, he's saying. So if I put it into a sentence, I would say, if I preach that, I would probably preach something like, it's good to express to the Lord your appreciation for his many blessings. That would be kind of the way I would approach it. I see David reflecting on his life. His response is that he's sold on the Lord. He's not going to follow other gods. He's not going to change. He's a satisfied customer. David has gone through some very difficult times in his life, but all things being equal, following the Lord has given him the best life possible. That might be a subject, even as the best life possible. And he's expressing to the Lord his appreciation for that. So if I go back and I'm just kind of putting this together here, I probably would preach a sermon that was saying to the people, it's good to express to the Lord your appreciation for his many blessings. You will come up with a different list. In fact, if I got to the how-to, I would probably say, have you ever written out a psalm yourself? This was just a practice that David got into. He would write these things down on a regular basis, and his heart is overflowing at this time he writes this psalm. If you've never tried to write a psalm, it's a good idea to do that. In fact, if you've never written out a prayer, it's a good thing just to write a prayer for a change. And you say, I'm not going to pray all these requests, but I'm just going to pray my feelings about you, God. So writing a psalm would be a good thing. I would also say, I know this to be a fact because I've taught enough classes on this. I would say not many people are into the practice of regularly writing down their thanksgiving or their thanks to the Lord. As I've said in other podcasts, I mentor new Christians, and one of the Christians said to me, well, let me see. The idea of writing down prayers was new to him. And so I said, sure, I got stacks of them. I don't keep them for any reason. You're welcome to. I gave him about 25 sheets of my prayers. And on all those sheets, there are six places, six only because I use four prayers of praise each time I write, and I write down my prayers. prayers twice a day. And I said, on each one of these, I just have a habit of writing six things for which I'm thankful. How in the world do you think of so many things? I said, it's not hard. You know, even looking back on the day in the evening, I write down, I'm thankful for that, Lord. I'm thankful. Wow, that was an answer to prayer. Thank you, Jesus. And so he looked at it all. And then when he could see with his eyes, it wasn't a psalm. It was just a list. But he could see with his eyes what I was doing. Somehow it was all different. And when I say write out a psalm, I guess that's kind of a pastoral suggestion that's way over the heads. It's not because it's hard to understand. It's just way beyond the experience of most people, because when they think praying, they don't think pray with a pencil. They think talk out loud, you know, or pray silently in your mind. But this individual said, well, now I see what you're saying. So I said, how about it? I called him by name. I said, why don't you, the next time we get together, come to me with a list of matters for which you thank the Lord? And he did that. And he had this whole list. I said, was it hard? After a few, yeah, it got hard, but it was kind of interesting. And so it's become a part of this young man's life, is to write down his thanks. Then we walk through what the difference between praise and thanks was. You know, you thank God for what he's done in your world. Thank you, God, that you provided for my needs and so on. But you can praise God as, I praise you, God, as a marvelous provider. Apart from all the ways you've done that for me, that's just characteristic of your nature. You've made a world where our needs are provided for. The sea is abundant with food and all the rest. You know, it's amazing. You put a little seed in the ground and before you know it, there's a plant and there's the fruit and all. You're amazing that way, God. I praise you. Now, that's different than thanks. So he was writing down it. I remember him saying to me, he said, you know, this praise is a lot harder than thanks. But basically, David is a master at praise and thanks. And I, again, to go back to how I'd preach that, I'd probably say it's good to express to the Lord your appreciation for his many blessings. And I would probably just make it thanks. Write a prayer, a psalm of thanksgiving. You know, and when it's all done, you read it to the Lord. And you say, I think I'll read that to you a couple times. And then you become Sally the psalmist, in a sense, you know, or whoever. And that's a growth step for the people. So I think it's a good psalm. It's a good psalm, mostly as an example, what David is doing here. So that's how I would do it. And I would say, the how-to, I've given that, and the how-long, I'd say, why don't you do that until you've either come to the place that you've actually written a psalm, share it with someone, your spouse, a friend, or you come to the place where you say, I've written out X number of thank yous now, and I think it's become a habit for me. I don't have to write it out anymore. I'd say there very seldom a day goes by, Dean, but what I don't write down, at least a half a dozen, and usually somewhere closer to a dozen, actual thank yous that have come through the day of how God has been good to me. You know, and I, you know, it would be very easy tonight after I've recorded. I'll write down, thank you for Dean, because Dean's an easy guy to work with. You know, we've been doing this for a long time. I don't think anything at all about all the equipment. He does all of that. Thank you very much, Lord, for that. You know, thank you for Shirley. I come here. I'm her guest, and she fixes meals for me. Thank you. And just write them down. It's a very natural thing. And it's what David is doing here. It's part of his closeness to the Lord. If you do something for someone all the time and they never say thank you, it bugs the relationship. You say, something's wrong with both. Over there. He doesn't understand what's going on. I'm giving of myself so that his life is better and he doesn't appreciate it. Well, people are like that way with God. God doesn't get the credit. Sometimes he should. So it's one of those early steps of learning to live this wonderful life of faith.
A side benefit of this seems to me to be an awareness of God's hand in your life.
Oh, very much. Yes. Keep talking. That's exactly right.
If you know that at the end of the day or at noontime or whatever time you set aside for this, you're going to record the things you're thankful for or the things you want to praise God for because of his nature, you're going to be aware of those. You're going to be looking for those things we call I spies. How is God affecting my daily life? And we become amazed when we realize the hand of God is on us all the time. And he makes what might seem to be the most simple thing come to pass, but it's by his hand.
I came out here from Chicago to Erie, and I can fly standby. That's too difficult to explain that, but that means if there's space on the plane, I get on. If there isn't space, then I don't make it. I got on the very last seat in the last row of the plane, and I could either say, boy, I'd sure like to sit somewhere else. I basically said, thank you, Jesus. You know, I don't have to rearrange my whole schedule. You got one seat there for me, and I got it. This is really, really neat, and I didn't have to pay for it. That's really good. Thank you. It's easy to find those things.
It's good to express to the Lord your appreciation for his many blessings.
And maybe not enough people do that. And if you start to do that, you become a very grateful person. You are very aware that God is doing way more in your life than he usually gets credit for.
And in these few short minutes, pastors, we've showed you how we use the Sermon Coach method of sermon development to put together a sermon. If we can do this for this passage of Scripture in a little more than 12 minutes, think what you can do with the kind of time you have to put in on your sermon every week.
Yeah, I guess we didn't touch the how long. How long says, how long will it take a person to become someone who doesn't express thanks and praise to the Lord that much to someone who does this kind of habitually? You're not going to solve it in 1 week, but how many weeks would you guess, Dean? If you started writing down your thanks, I would say you do it for a couple of weeks and it's going to become a habit in your life.
Yeah, certainly that's been our experience. Even in the more difficult spiritual disciplines, the 50 days, kind of a magic number, actually the number's 49. All the psychological studies say if you do something 7 times and then repeat them 7 times, that comes up with 49. If you do something 49 times, it becomes a habit. 50 is an easier number than 49, so we always say 50. But certainly in this case, it's going to quickly become a part of your life. As long as you set a time and don't let things interfere with it, you take it seriously because after all, you're talking to God in writing. You're writing down your thoughts of things you want to praise God for and things you want to thank him for. And I hope some pastor listening to our podcast has been taking notes, and this will be the sermon he preaches or she preaches on Sunday.
Neat.
It's good to express to the Lord your appreciation for his many blessings. We're so glad you joined us for our SermonCoach.com podcast today. You found this podcast on our website, along with a whole lot of other resources. Our website, SermonCoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. Some people say, why do you always emphasize that hyphen? Well, we do that because there are other websites out there that are very similar in name to ours. Ours is distinctive in that the hyphen separates the word sermon and the word coach. Sermon-coach.com. And we invite you to join us for our next SermonCoach.com podcast.